Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 27th of March, and I am recording at, looks like, 8:44 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. Okay, this being Friday, this is the big picture outlook for the various asset classes. And I'll start first with just a review of how these indices have actually done so far this year, in addition, of course, to their prospects as I see it going forward. Now, it's been a nervous week, as you know. Wall Street steadying, but only modest gains from a quarter of a percent in the S&P to a half, just over half a percent in the NASDAQ Composite Index. But here, let's look at the percentage figures, because we've had almost 3 months of the year. And what do we actually have? The Dow, despite today's modest rally, is down. Down two-thirds of nearly two-thirds of a percentage point on the year to date. Now, all the figures, excuse me, that I'm going to give you will be quoted in US dollar terms, so you can see the clear range of performance. Now, it's just starting in the Americas, and I'm only going to do a few here. But the S&P is only up a tenth of a percent, and the NASDAQ a little better at 3.25% plus. Canada, like so many resources markets, weak, down 6.71%. Mexico down nearly 2%. And Brazil, poor old Brazil, down over 18%. Now, in Europe, the Euro Stoxx 50 index is up 5.35. The UK 100 index is down a quarter of a percentage point on the year. So that's in line with Wall Street so far. Dragged down by some big resources shares in that index, although it's certainly cheaper than Wall Street for the most part. If we look at France, that's up 6.16%. The German DAX up over 9%. Small gain, very small gain for the Spanish IBEX, but the Italian MIB up nearly 9%. Netherlands up over 3%, Sweden up over nearly 3.25%. Swiss market, not in the EU, of course, but that's up 4.73% so far this year. Then in Asia Pacific, which is always so interesting, well, Japan's topics up 10.75%. The Nikkei 225 up almost 11%. And the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index up 3.75%. The Shanghai Composite, look at this, up almost 14%. And the H-share, the Hong Kong H-share Index, that's actually down two-thirds of a percentage point. Taiwan, which has had a rough week, but it's still up 3.68%. South Korea up over 4.5%. Australia up 3.85%. India, this raises an eyebrow. It's almost lost its gains for the year. The Nifty is up 1.72%. And the Sensex index is only up 0.85 of a percent. Remember, that was up over 10% at the high earlier in the earlier in the month. So certainly oversold here at this stage, and still edging towards that. Well, it was up fractionally. It was up a point here today. That's not much on 27,458. It's been edging towards the 200, the rising 200-day moving average, but this is a bigger reaction than we've seen. So that's obviously emphasizes the point that there's a whole lot more two-way activity. But again, I want to repeat and conclude on that note that it is oversold here right now. elsewhere, Singapore down 0.75%. Malaysia down a couple of percentage points. Yes, down just over two, just down just over 2%, I should say. Thailand up 0.75 percent. Indonesia down 1.77, and New Zealand, I'll stop with that, up 2.07. So the point is here is that a lot of indices are outperforming Wall Street, maybe a third are in line, and only the out and out resources markets are clearly underperforming in here for the most part. Okay, so what are they likely to do going forward? Well, again, I mentioned a lot of nervousness in my opening words. That's going to, I think, persist for a while. There are concerns over what the Fed's going to do, although I'm quite relaxed about the Fed overall. I certainly don't think the Fed will be rushing to jam interest rates up. I think it'll move very prudently. That's certainly in line with what Janet Yellen has been indicating throughout. But we know that earnings estimates, at any rate, are not good. They're the lowest they've been in a number of years. And after a lot of downward revisions, they had quite optimistic estimates at the beginning of the year. And that was despite a dollar just rocketing higher. And that's the main factor here in lowering a lot of these estimates, plus the big oil price drop, which has hit the U.S. oil producing sector, particularly the shale producers. So you've got uncertainty there. I think also you've got an administration which has been largely redistributive rather than a factor in driving the economy forward. So I think, and also the valuations are, particularly with the downgrades, especially if those downgrades are correct, the valuations are sufficiently high. They're not outrageously high, except for some tech issues. But they're sufficiently high so that we're likely to see more volatility. I think that's the main point. But will we get a big bust, as some people have been forecasting? Well, it would be the first time I've seen anything like that happen against a background of monetary accommodation. And it is still monetary accommodation because although the Fed is not involved in any more quantitative easing, it certainly hasn't sold any of those bonds, and interest rates are at record lows. And for me, there's nothing more important than monetary policy in terms of influences on the markets. Don't fight the Fed, one of the earliest and oldest adages that I'm aware of. And that applies to any other central bank. So that's in Europe's favor. And we've certainly seen Europe perform better than most of Europe perform better than Wall Street this year. I think the Grexit situation is a matter of not if, but when. And I just think that Germany wants to string it along a little further. They've replaced the negotiators to try to, in other words, Wolfgang Schäuble is no longer involved in those negotiations. They put in Juncker. To try to find a compromise. They've taken away the finance minister from the Greek group. Angela Merkel is involved in all this. So, they'll probably somehow keep it a little bit afloat. I get the feeling, not from anything he said, but from what's reported. Well, perhaps he has said it, but I haven't seen it. But I get the feeling that the ECB is Would just as soon see Greece out of the single currency. My long-term view on the single currency, it's not that it's going to all fall apart, but that it will lose some members, just as it gains some members. I've said that for years, actually. You know, this isn't a one-way street, and Greece is going to be the first one out. And probably this year could easily occur this year. It's just a matter of how they can actually organize it, or how masochistic they're going to actually be from the Greek perspective, how much they're actually going to give up among the other countries. But what's interesting here is that some of the countries that are taking the toughest line on Greece, Spain, for instance, has really gone through its own tortures of the damned to try to whip the economy back into some sort of shape. So they're not pleased to see Greece asking the other countries to subsidize the fact that they haven't been able to balance their books. Okay, so what's likely to happen? I think. Wall Street may have a flattish year. Wall Street, though, could do quite chance it'll be picking up towards the latter part of the year. Get past an interest rate hike, and the sky doesn't fall. It'll be largely discounted, and so we could get flat year to modest gains, but expect volatility, I think the European stock markets will do quite well. They're overextended right now, likely to see some consolidations. They've got that barrier or hurdle of Grexit, and then there's the sinister figure of Putin in the background here, and that can affect sentiment somewhat. But the big factor is Mario Draghi's QE. And bullish, full stop. I put it this way: have you ever seen a market slump when you've had a very accommodative central bank? I don't think I have, but if I'm wrong, please remind me. Okay. And what about the Asian markets? Well, Japan, big QE story here. It's looking very positive. Again, overbought in the short term. But I think this is a significant bull market here, and it's going to continue to benefit from this quantitative easing. China's getting certainly some favorable policies from the government, and so you can I do consider that a tailwind overall. The government's quite happy to see the stock market pick up in here, so I like that. I think that still looks attractive, and India. I did caution earlier in the year when India was so overextended. I like this a lot for the long term. I really do, as you know. Narendra Modi is very skillful, and he's got so much goodwill behind him here. Now it's corrected a lot of that overbought condition. India is not cheap. But I think it deserves to be, or the background environment merits a little bit higher valuation than some other markets that we see. So I think India is pulling into a buying range here, and it's the sort of thing to, since markets can easily overshoot, if one was considering that, it's time to nibble nibble lightly. I'm probably not going to do that because India is by far my biggest position, and I've got other things that I'm also very very interested in the other markets here. So we're a little bit spoiled by choice. But I've described India as being out of favor temporarily because the markets getting the QE are the ones that are certainly showing the more recent performance, and that can go on. It's a global beauty contest. Now, Wall Street, I'll just make one more comment on Wall Street. I expect choppy, not all that great performance. It's a matter of picking your right stocks here. You've still got a strong dollar, although it's less strong than it was. I have maintained that the Fed had intervened. Am I the only person who's actually said that? Well, central banks do intervene on a very quiet, trying to keep it, and do it on an invisible basis. They intervene quite frequently, and certainly the Fed needs to get that dollar index down before it cuts those interest rates. So I think we will actually see that. And that dollar index, having mentioned them, I might as well give you the level here. It's down a little bit in here today, 97.40. Remember that peaked earlier in the month up at 100.37, was it, I think? Okay, now on a long-term basis, though, Wall Street has good technology. And actually, a growing lead in technology, not all areas, but in many areas. One area where it's well behind is in robotics, and particularly industrial. I should say, I should refine that. I should say industrial robotics. They're well behind Japan, and I think they might even be behind Europe. Behind Germany in that respect. Oh, okay. Now, what about these government bond markets? Well, let me just bring up that U.S. Because I have not looked at that today. And here we go. Sorry for the delay on that. I'll eased a little bit, 1.96. So it's been hovering around that two level. Basically, it's ranging. We were here last October, as well. And year to date, we've had a high of about let me bring that up. A high of just over 2.25. And the low way down near 1.64. So 2.25, 1.64. We're still in that range, and it doesn't look to me like it's going to go anywhere else all that soon. what's causing people to be so content with this? Well, the yields are better than they are in Europe and better than they are in Japan. And so that gives some incentive, and that has been giving some incentive for both Japanese and European investors to buy the US treasuries. Also, the US investors who've been all along are saying, if it the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, or if it's still, in other words, if it's still performing, stay with it. And they've got a 35-year trend on their side, so maybe a little bit complacent in there. Also, there is a lot of deflation fears, and I've mentioned this in all these weekly audios, but most of that deflation is coming from technology, and that's a positive deflation. I can't make a strong case for government bonds. As a matter of fact, I can make a if I can, I can make a strong case, I can say they're going to be very dangerous over the next decade. Because yields will be higher in 5 to 10 years' time, and probably sooner than 5 years, almost certainly sooner than 5 years. So I don't like the government bonds, and I hope those people are who are holding those positions, certainly subscribers who are doing that. Again, hats off to you in terms of good total return performance. But I hope you draw a line on the chart so that you don't get your profits eroded here. That's the most important thing. And I much prefer equities because we still have a favorable overall background. Currencies. I mentioned that dollar being overextended and that the Fed was intervening, and I think that we have seen. My guess is that, and if I'm right on that Fed point, that we've seen the dollar's high for the rest of the year and possibly a little bit beyond. On a long-term basis, I think the dollar will go higher. That's because it was starting from a very low base, got way overextended at that over 25% run-up. But that certainly appears to have peaked with the help of the Fed. And lengthy consolidation would be best for the dollar to pull back and just range sideways at a somewhat lower level, holding maybe a half to two-thirds of the gains that it has seen since June. But then I think that the dollar will go higher, and I think it will be U.S. technology and close to energy independence that will do it. And if the U.S. wants to go fully energy independent, it'll be able to do that. If oil prices pick up, I'll get onto oil prices in a few minutes. So, where does this leave the weak currencies? Well, the euro, I think we've seen at least a short-term low down just below that 105 level. It was around 10, close to 104 at its actual low. That's at least a short-term low, and I don't think there's a big downside risk here in the medium term. I hesitate a little bit on that because of Brexit and the Russian situation, but I think the Russian situation, that I should say, the really the Putin situation, that should get a lot worse or a lot more frightening. Hopefully it doesn't. When I'm saying it should get a lot, what I mean to just rephrase that, I think it would have to get a lot worse, a lot more worrying to really weigh on the euro. And actually, if we do get a if we do get the Grexit, then I think the euro will rally. So people may not be actually considering that point. Sterling could be a little soft. It's weakened somewhat because of the euro, and that will remain a concern. But we've got an election here in May, and that's the main priority here right now. So, for me, Labour victory would be negative for the euro. With a Conservative victory as a major party, I think probably you would get you would Osborne wanting to make sure that the that sterling was not appreciating against the euro because over half the trade is with the European European region. Asian currencies, really the China and India, they're reasonably steady, particularly India. Again, that's also reflected, although India's had a sharpish pullback on its stock market. You look at the sterling quoted funds that invest in India. The JP Morgan one that I have, for instance, only come down a tiny bit. That's because the rupee's been much stronger than sterling recently. Okay, going from currencies. I think just the last thing I'll say is that the resources country currencies will remain soft, and they will remain soft until we get a really good rally in those resources. That will require, I'm talking about the industrial resources mainly. I wouldn't hold my breath in terms of the oil price. There's still too much supply coming out, although all this rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia, backing a lot of forces, military forces, this is a little bit of a concern. And the Iranians may feel that they haven't got all that much to lose, because they'd be better off if, despite the cost of their military efforts, if that helped to drive up the price of oil. So we have to bear that in mind. Precious metals, if the dollar stays below that $100, dollar index stays below that 100 level, I think that you'll see the lows that we saw earlier this month, and certainly earlier in the year. I think they could well hold. Industrial metals, it's still a matter of too much efficiency on the production of them, benefiting enormously from technology. And though as an important indicator for stock markets, historically they've always had a very late run, just when stock markets were beginning to get toppy. You get this late strong run by the cheaper resources shares. It's been very very useful, very helpful that. And of course, we haven't seen anything like that this time around to date. So that's another point in favor of stock markets generally. Agricultural commodities, that's in the hands of the weather gods, but prices are cheap for the most part. And that's not adding to any inflationary concerns. That's for sure. So weigh it all up. Not a bad environment, but don't be surprised if stock markets are choppy. But I really think all this talk of a big crash, particularly by Wall Street, is just way wide of the mark given these global monetary policies. And on that note, have an absolutely fantastic weekend. All the best.